recordings have now started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's PPSC PDP call on Thursday, the 10th of December. We have Jeff Newman, Tatiana Kramsova, Avery Doria, Marilyn Cade, James Bladell, Alan Greenberg, Alex Gakuru. From staff, we have Liz Gaster, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And we have apologies from Marika Konings. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking. Thank you very much. Over to you, Jeff.
Thank you, Gisela. This is Jeff Newman, the chair of the PDP work team on December 10th, 2009. I want to welcome everyone to the meeting. Just a brief announcement that today's meeting will just be limited to an hour. A bunch of us have some of us have other commitments at 11 that we need to, 11 Eastern time that we need to get to. So we'll keep it to an hour. I think the agenda really is to discuss for a little bit of time the request for the face-to-face, and I kind of want to keep that time limited because I really want to get back to doing some more on stage four work that we've been making some really good progress on. With that said, just a little bit of an update. There's, as most of you know, there was a paper that was sent around that we talked about on the last call on the rationale for a face-to-face that was approved by those on the, at least by a rough consensus of the group. I sent that to the full PPSC, as we discussed on the last call, on the 5th of December. There were some additional comments on the list, as everyone has seen, not from necessarily PPSC members, as some of them actually are either no longer active or just have not responded. But there have been some emails from Avery and Marilyn and others, Liz Williams, and ICANN staff that addressed some of the rather than addressing really the rationale for the meeting, most of them address things on logistics and number of persons funded, location, things like that. Mike Rodebaugh did have some question on the need for a face-to-face meeting, and he posted those to the list, and I tried to clarify whether those are it sounded like from at least the first series of emails they were more geared towards prioritization of GNSO Council work and other work that's going on, but he did update it after I asked him some questions on the value of face-to-face in general, and Avery has clarified as well, and she's on the call. Avery has clarified some comments on the face-to-face meeting and the value of a face-to-face, and I kind of want to do this. You want to separate the two issues of the value of a face-to-face from the logistics of the face-to-face. I want to settle on the answer to the first question before we get to the second question, because if I've misread the consensus of the group, which was that the group feels like there is value to a face-to-face meeting, then there's really no sense in talking about the logistics, number of people, et cetera. So does anyone on this call have any comments on whether they believe I am incorrect in assuming that there is a consensus that we believe that there will be value to a face-to-face meeting of this work team?
This is Aubrey. Can I speak?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, if you're able to, we do have an Adobe. I don't know if you're in front of a computer or not, but if you are, it'd be great to join. But yes, Aubrey, go on.
Okay. First of all, I guess I don't believe that you can separate the issues that way. As I said in the answer, and this is an answer that I've confirmed with other members of the NCSG, the other counselors, and the other members of the executive committee, is that there may be some positive value to this meeting if it is done in a fair and properly distributed way. In other words, if the logistics are indeed correct. There could be negative value to this meeting if they are done incorrectly. Of course there is a value to the meeting. It's just whether it's positive or negative is really the question. And there's just as much chance for it to be negative as positive. So that being the case, and no, I do not believe that you have consensus for there being a positive value for the meeting.
So just to raise a couple questions. According to the NCSG, so assuming that there's, if we can't separate the two, you know, obviously Alex is one of your reps that would attend. Who would be the other NCSG rep?
I don't know. There hasn't been a discussion on who do we send if there are more. As I said in my reply to you, you know, the way to do it fairly may be that there is only one rep per stakeholder group. That may indeed be the right answer. That is as much parity as the possibility of two from each or three from each. We have not discussed who else we would send because the issue is not about names. It is about the principle of parity and doing it. If there are more seats available, then the NCSG will talk about whom, you know, find out. I guess first thing would be find out if any of the new council members that were appointed by the board would be ones or whether they wanted to look at someone else. These are people who are just now getting involved in all of our Michigan. So, you know, that's something we haven't talked about yet.
So let me ask another question. And by the way, if anyone wants to jump in, raise your hand or let me know.
Yes. I can't raise my hand. I'm not online anymore. Can I get in the queue?
Yes. Let me ask one more question, then I'll get Marilyn, and then James has his hand raised. Aubrey, in your what do you believe is the rationale for a face-to-face meeting? I guess let me just ask the general question.
I believe the rationale for a face-to-face meeting is to solve those hard issues that take face-to-face discussion. I think any of the simple issues can be dealt with easily in telephone calls and on email. It's just that there's hard issues that take a lot of concentrated conversation, that those are the kinds of things that warrant a face-to-face, and when you're discussing hard issues, is when you need to have, you know, complete representation.
Okay, let me go to Marilyn and then James and then Alan. Marilyn?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I guess I'm going to comment on two things, and that is, one, I think it's important to have the meeting. I don't know how we stumbled into using the word value, so I'm going to ignore that word for a minute. We need to advance this work further and complete it and develop the enhanced PDP that has been outstanding. I'm just going to note that calls for improving and changing the PDP took place long before the last board governed review, but actually came out of a tech review that the council undertook. So I think the you know, we ought to be able to address the question of representation and balance, assume we're going to solve those issues, and put together a two-day meeting, regardless of when we're doing it, and get people together, make sure we have excellent remote participation capability as well, and structure the work and advance the work. I think to fail to do so leaves the policy council, and I understand some of you have probably a sense that you have more affinity to the policy council because you've recently been on it or you're on it now, but it leaves the policy council hamstrung. They're moving ahead without the tools that the community and the board said they needed. And that means that they're put in a position of continuing to make decisions on the fly. And they're basically, it's an unfair position to the stakeholder community, it's unfair to the counselors, and we're not fulfilling our responsibility to the board.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. James?
Hi, Jeff. Thanks. This is James, and I just wanted to get back to your initial point, which is I do see these as two separate issues.
coming from the perspective that there's nothing that would be accomplished in a face-to-face meeting that couldn't be accomplished through traditional remote participation means, then the logistics or the administrative of who goes and who's sponsored really just kind of becomes somewhat irrelevant to my position. So I just wanted to put that out there, that I feel that they are separate issues. If we can address one and then that's determined that there is no consensus for a meeting, I think that kind of takes the other one off the table.
Right. So, you know, James, I understand there was an objection from the registrars in terms of council and at the council level in terms of priorities. But putting that aside, because I don't believe, again, this is my personal view, and you guys can let me know, I don't believe it's our job on this work team to talk or even think about what the council priorities are.
Right.
Our job is to prioritize, and I mean, our job is to move, put a priority on the work of this group and to move this work forward. And if we believe that there's value or that we need a face-to-face meeting, then we should request it. It's the job of our counselors to think about the big picture and to make a decision about, if they choose, on funding and some other items. But so just to help clarify your view, James, I'm sorry, so your view as a work team member, do you have a position on that?
As far as the council priorities and the overall big picture, I'm probably not going to wade into that.
Right, I'm sorry, I meant on are you in favor of the face-to-face meeting as a member of this work team?
No.
You're not?
No.
Okay, can you explain that?
Well, I think we laid out some of those concerns earlier, and if I'm going to rehash them from memory, then I would beg a little bit of indulgence that I might not get them in the right order or I might miss some. But I think,
sure. You
know, it has to do with essentially the number of PDPs that are currently ongoing. I think it sets a somewhat of a dangerous precedent if we start requesting or requiring face-to-face meetings as part of PDPs. Secondly, I think that just, you know, As evidence, our discussion of participation is that it's limiting. Okay, it picks a region, it picks a group of folks, and it says that we're going to go forward with this roster, and it doesn't really, keep the door open as well as a meeting where everyone is remote. In general, don't necessarily believe that this is a good use of either staff or travel resources. So I probably left some things out, but that's, I think, the crux of the objection.
Okay. Alan?
Yeah, I just think we also need to, along the way, think about why we got into this position on the debate on the number of people and participation. And some people have made, comments about no one really cared about participation until travel was involved. And I don't think for a moment there is anyone involved in this that is just yearning for a trip to D.C. for 2 days or wherever it ends up being. So it's not the travel as such, but there is something which is causing people to want to participate in this when we have not had really good participation from some groups in the past. And I think we need to think about why and what we can do to get that ongoing participation when it's only boring teleconferences.
Okay. Paul?
Thanks, Jeff. I just wanted to follow up on a point you made a few moments ago about when you have opportunity to present before the council, this debate that appears to be going on the list and undoubtedly will come up in the council about the prioritization of this work, whereas I personally feel that the work of this particular work team is extremely high priority. The council can't keep going forward until it has the rules it's going to operate under as they apply to their own operations and, importantly, to any future policy work. If there is a substantial debate at the council level about prioritization, and that is one of their agenda items, I would ask that you, as a representative of this group, listen and potentially weigh in. If the majority of the council feels that, as Mike Rodenbaugh does, that this is not a high priority, then I would challenge, then why in the world did they constitute this group, and do we need to keep banging our heads and move forward? I fully expect they say, no, it is important, and I don't believe that Mike speaks for a majority, but I'm just asking, please, since you've been invited to be on that call, to listen into what they have to say. And if you're finding that a substantial number of counselors even take Mike's view, then challenge them to ask, you know, what is the purpose of having this group if they're not prioritizing it? Why did they create it in the first place? I think there's a disconnect in Mike's reasoning here, and maybe it just needs to be teased out at the council level. But it's very important for all of us. If the counselors don't feel that the work we're doing is all that important, and I underscore the if, but if that's the case, then what are we doing here week after week?
Yeah, I think so just I agree with you that's going to be important to make those points. One other point that's important that I don't think Mike is understood is that the work was deemed important by the board, right? It's the board governance committee that made recommendations to the GNSO to deal with this. So the priorities weren't really set by the council. The council did create the steering committee, and the steering committee did create the work teams. And the council obviously approved of those and approved of the charters. The work was deemed important by the board. So I'm not sure, you know, obviously the council can always send back a message to the board saying we don't find it important. But, you know, one of the things that we do need to reiterate is that this is not necessarily work that the council just dreamed up and said, you know, let's create a steering committee and work teams on. It was something that was kind of led to them by the board, which, by the way, is an issue in any PDP, right? If you think about it, we spent some time talking about it in stage one and probably stage two, which is when the board wants a PDP or wants work done, there is no real discretion by the council to say no to that. The council can create the mechanisms by which that work is done, but there's no discretion for the council to say no. At least that's the way it's set up now, and that's kind of what, you know, we all kind of agreed with in stages one and two. Now, granted, this is not a PDP, but it's indicative of what would happen in the future if the board wants a PDP. So all of that needs to be pointed out. I think the budget issue is interesting because it's technically not coming out of the council budget, but it would be coming out of a separate budget that was set by ICANN on GNSO improvements, as opposed to work, you know, so the argument Mike makes and others make on the council about this would take away from money for other council activities is not exactly correct, although it would take away from money spent on other GNSO improvement activity, whatever that might be in the future. So I see Wolf has got a comment.
And I want to make a comment after that, sir. Alex Gekuru.
Okay, let me go to Wolf and then I'll go to Alex. Wolf, are you on mute, maybe? Okay, let me still can't hear Wolf, so let me go to Alex. I'm sorry, you there, Wolf?
Hello.
Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, there he is.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. What to say? I was wondering. Sometimes Debbie came back to the roots in discussing the question of value of such a meeting again and again. For me, this was only the question. You know, when I thought over, you know, the different meetings we had on the telephone conference and the progress we made, so that there was slow progress made to some extent, and I was also thinking, you know, how could that be improved? You know, that's the basic question, you know, and I think really it could be improved at a certain stage by holding a face-to-face meeting, concentrating really on the issues. And that was my thinking about that, and why I support such a meeting. And I think in that way that not a question, or could that be valuable from the point right now? So, but if we come to that point that we feel okay, let's do it and let's make value. Let's get value from that meeting, really. So, and then therefore we have to talk about these conditions under a meeting has to take part, yeah? So that's my opinion. And on the other hand, with regards to prioritization, I think, though I pointed out in a written notice as well, that we are not talking about really whether other things are, holding a meeting, we don't talk about that other items are less important or not that much important because there is not yet a face-to-face meeting for other items. I can really follow what Paul was saying with regards to the question of priority, because the council and as member of the council, I have to be faced with a discussion about prioritization of council's work. The council has to talk about the prioritization of its work. In this sense, it has to make a ranking of things, which doesn't mean okay, things are really not important or they are important. It is just well to organize that work. And from that point of view, it came to my mind, really, these items, the PDP development, the new PDP, what we are doing is a kind of basic things for our future work. It's a kind of, I would compare it with a kind of infrastructural items we are doing. So we set the infrastructure for the work, a basis for the work we have to do in the future. And therefore, I see this is kind of importance, and I would really ask for and would support to have a face-to-face meeting as soon as possible. Okay, thanks.
Okay, Alex?
Yeah, thank you, Jeff, and everybody on call. My view on the mandate and of the task given to this by the board, is what made me support the face-to-face meeting. Probably still stand by that, I would want to reiterate. And the reason for doing this, which I still stand by, is the fact that all policy development in the future shall be based on some of the recommendations that we shall arrive at through consensus. I foresee problems unless this new policy development foundation is built on a widely accepted foundation. So we do need to make sure that the environment that will govern how we make policies on all ICANN processes in future is indeed founded on that environment where we actually are agreeing on how to meet, to create consensus. So therefore, I found the face-to-face meeting being one such makes fundamental changes, and having had this mandate coming straight from the board, like you mentioned a bit earlier, that is one that may require that maybe we meet, because sometimes I do know when people meet, sometimes things change, and they actually start discussing things more closely in the sense of arriving at a point of view. I'm not saying everybody now must always meet to agree on everything, but I saw this as a very high board originated mandate which is on the site, and that is why I supported this. Maybe what I would like us to do, and it's us, all of us, is to find out what these issues are that are stopping us from, because they're different. It's not the work that is not there. I think the key question to me has been, and it's a historical reason, has been that of parity. We need to look at these issues, hash them out, and then so that we can proceed with the serious work that we are all doing from our different perspectives, And I think that is probably the parity issue. And I sense, this is my personal feeling, I sense a lot of consensus. Again, on this meeting, it's a sense. I'm not saying I'm saying it's a consensus. If we hash out those issues, that we assure parity, and we say, okay, we'll go there, and we relax. We don't try to make it a bit too harsh. That's my view for now, and then we probably could go on to stage four and the other questions. Thank you for giving me the chance to comment.
Thank you, Alex. And I do agree in your statement of that the work we're doing is really setting the basis for the future policy development that the council or that the community does. I mean, it's very important. All right, so again, I need to judge the level of consensus if I submit a request to the council. I know it's already been on the council list. I think Mike has CC'd people on the council probably before it was ready to go to the council. Definitely before it was ready to go to the council. I think Mike kind of took the discussion to the council level, which I'm going to ask on this call, and I'll ask on the email list that until something's ready to go to the council, I'm not sure people should be CCing the council and bothering them with these requests until it actually gets there. I understand Mike's passion, and people have passion to get this issue discussed by as many people as possible. But it, in this case, I think created a little bit of confusion to actually put it on the council list. Because, after all, only certain people can comment on the council list. I can't even submit any comments to the council list, and most of us can't. Only councilors can. So to have Mike take the emails going back and forth and then having some of them go on the council list but others not being able to respond, I don't think creates the complete picture, and nor do I necessarily think the council should be bothered until they need to be, right? So on that, let me go through and see if I can get kind of a feeling of the group. I think I understand the non-commercial stakeholder group where, as Avery and Alex have said, that they please, I'm just trying to paraphrase so I can get a consensus, that they believe there will be value to a meeting if done with the caveats that have been mentioned. The registrars do not favor a face-to-face for the meeting for the reasons they have mentioned. Alan, do you want to? I'm just kind of going down the Adobe list.
I support the meeting.
Okay. Let's see, David Maher, are you on? Okay, I see him on Adobe, but I'm not sure if he's on.
I'm on. I was on mute, sorry. And I agree.
With supporting the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Aubrey, was there anything you wanted to add?
No, not really, but basically, yes, that it's a question on what its value will be, but that if it's not organized with parity, then we don't support it.
Right.
Only support if it's organized with parity.
Okay. All right, sorry, I'm just writing that down. So if I go down the list, James and Paul, did you want to add anything? I mean, I think you guys have pretty much.
No, I think hopefully my position is very clear. So won't speak for Paul.
Yeah,
okay.
Just support James.
Okay, it's Robin is on the Adobe, but are you on the call as well?
Hi, yes, I just joined.
Okay. I think Aubrey and Alex have done a good job representing the non-commercial view. So I'll just skip you at the moment. Wolf, it seems like you were in support.
Yes.
Okay. The business constituency is a tough one because you have Liz Williams saying one thing and Mike saying another. I'm not sure who their primary rep is, and I've sent a note trying to seek clarification on that.
Jeff.
Marilyn.
It's Marilyn. So I'm going to have to go off in a minute, so I'm just going to express my I apologize about jumping the queue. I'm going to express my support for a face-to-face meeting, and I'm also going to comment. I am here as an individual, not representing the business constituency, but I can say as a business constituency member that the constituency has not had a discussion about a formal opinion. Just as a, so, you know, I appreciate the fact that you've sent an inquiry as the chair so that the representatives can bring, the formal representatives can bring that topic back to the BC.
Okay. There's no one, I think, from the IPC on this call. But I did see a note from Brian earlier that said that they were in support of the meeting. I'll go back and double-check. I don't know if Liz or anyone else can recall what it's, what his note said.
Brian did send me a note saying he supported the meeting.
Right.
And also he's offering a location in D.C., you know, free of charge with sort of reduced catering.
Reduced catering.
Well, he said it was very... I forget the term he used, very modest or something.
Okay.
Not less food, less cost.
Okay.
It would be a disaster.
So I think the way it sounds, if I'm reading this correct, it sounds like there is, just kind of going through this list, it sounds like there's strong support for a meeting. Whether it rises to the level of consensus, I need the... To figure out the business constituency view, although it sounds like, I mean, with the right parameters, you would add the non-commercials in there. So what I've asked Aubrey to do and what she's done is she's spelled out the non-commercial view. The plan is to put together a new cover note to send to the council, you know, reiterating some of the points that were in this call today, and also taking some of the stuff from Aubrey's email to make sure that gets across to the council. They're planning on bringing it up on their agenda on a week from today, on the 17th. I believe I'm going to be asked to come to the meeting, or at least to listen to the meeting and answer any questions and kind of present this proposal. I will do my best to present this. I'm sure you all will communicate with your council reps to keep me honest and to weigh in, obviously, on council priorities and things. So we'll bring up the request. I'm not sure what, if anything, the council will do with it. Frankly, this is a first, so I'm not even sure what the role is of the council. I'm assuming if the council says no way, then I'm assuming there's not going to be any pushback by staff or anyone to actually insist on the meeting. On the other hand, if there's no affirmative vote, but the council just says, okay, you know, we've had the discussion, at this point, I think the plan is still to go forward with the meeting. We'll see what happens after the council meeting. I know time is running short. I know there are some visa issues that may need to be figured out if it's in the United States. One point that I did want to raise, Aubrey, and then I do really want to spend a little bit of time on stage four, is just to reiterate the discussion we had on the last call and as to why the United States or Washington, D.C. was chosen really has to do with, it seemed like, really had to do with cost as opposed to anything else. It was not to send a message that we don't believe we're international. Again, it was done with an eye towards we need to move forward on progress with the group. It really wasn't done because we felt like we needed to do outreach for this meeting. We really felt like we just needed to bring together the people that were in this group that had been participating or that had a commitment to participate, and it really wasn't done with an eye towards, you know, your normal outreach and trying to get different new people, fresh faces from around the world. I see Wolf and Alan have a comment.
Yeah, I was just going to point out that given the environment we're working in, maybe cost should not be the only issue.
You're here.
not clear. That's not our decision necessarily, but it may be important that it not be the main decision, the main decision point that is used to decide where meetings are held.
Okay, and then let me go to I have Will. Was that Marilyn also that I heard?
I just came back. Sorry for dropping off without notice. I will try to be here another 15 minutes.
Oh, okay, thanks. I have Wolf and then Avery, then Robin.
Yes. First of all, to explain what the intention is for the council to come up with a motion on that issue, on that item, let me say, the question of face-to-face meeting. So normally, as a motion is, it means it's about, okay, asking for acceptance of this request as it is. So in this respect, what I'm asking you, do we intend to modify the request in the light of the discussion we had? So that's my question, because, you know, there is, as I could see, Harvey, for example, she was only filing a yes, a conditional yes, so if with parity. So is it intended to modify the request and for the discussion, and so we should find a procedure for that.
Okay. Let me go to the other people that have raised their hand, to Avery.
Okay, yeah, thanks. I think, first of all, if you get to any use of the word consensus, you have a medium to rough consensus at best. I think Wolf did identify an issue, which is that since the conditional is on doing it correctly, which is not only the parity issue, but perhaps geographical considerations, that the plan as it stands would not have NCSG's support. And finally, but you weren't asking about the plan when you asked that question. You were asking purely, might there be positive value in a meeting? If you're talking about the plan as it exists, then no, that doesn't have support. And finally, on the geographical issue, I certainly did not mean to say that Washington, D.C. was intentionally picked to show the world that we do not care about international. What I was saying is, yes, I understand that Washington, D.C. is financially expeditious, and it's really easy for the people that the North Americans that live clustered around D.C., but given the affirmation of commitment to be a more international-friendly body, that those commitments that have been made, and that's one of the reasons why I keep pointing out also the 9.1 and especially 9.1C that deals with, you know, policymaking and the policy development process, is that those commitments have been made. That is a new dimension on all of our discussions, and that we cannot continue the discussion on new PDPs without taking all of the affirmation of commitment into account.
Okay, so Avery, let me, because what it sounds like, and then I'll address this to you, and then Robin's got her hand up too. Unfortunately, what it sounds like to me, and maybe this is too narrow of a view, but what you're almost saying is that there could never be another meeting in the United States because of the affirmation of commitments. So that's probably not what you're saying. So help me as chair determine or figure out what would be the appropriate, given the composition of this group and given the goals that we would like to achieve at this meeting, where would be an acceptable meeting, and why would that location be better than Washington?
Okay, I haven't given much thought. What always pops into my mind is Amsterdam Airport. But basically some place that people from more locations in the world can get to with only one hub hop. So perhaps Dulles does count as one of those, and Washington, D.C., in its relation to Dulles, does count. I'm certainly not saying no more U.S. meetings could ever be held. although a part of me, because of the visa issues with the United States, think that that's something that perhaps should be considered. But I'm just saying that an automatic decision, oh, we'll do it in Washington, D.C. because it's cheapest, is not. I mean, we also have to look at the fact of the people who might come to this that don't get free seats and have to pay their own way. Is Washington, D.C. really the cheapest? Would an Amsterdam be cheaper? Would a, you know, Kuala Lumpur? I don't know. I mean, I'm not one of those that's done pricing of things for people living around the world. If we had many people coming from Australia, you know, to this meeting, or from Asia to this meeting, or from Africa to this meeting, who had to pay their own way, or their companies had to pay their way, because we don't need to just invite the people that get paid by ICANN. We're assuming that other people would care enough to come anyway.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know the answer, but the quick, oh, Washington D.C. is quick and easy, and cheapest for the people in Washington D.C. and vicinity, North Americans, then cool.
Yeah, I think I do want to go to Robin. I think Washington D.C. was chosen because, again, this wasn't the group which has been meeting regularly. When we looked at the composition of those that would not need funding, I think we actually did look at that. And so when we looked, for example, at the registries, the registrars, the IPC, the business, some individuals, we did determine that there just happened to be a number of people located very close to D.C. that could get there even if they weren't the funded ones. That may be different with the non-commercial, but certainly with some of the other stakeholder groups, that is something we thought about. For example, if James were to be funded from the registrars, because he's in Iowa, and as he says, it's two hops from everywhere, you know, if he were to be the one funded, you know, Paul would be able to come because Paul's pretty close to the, you know, he's in the D.C. area. If, if Marilyn could come because, you know, she's close to the she's in the D.C. area. So there were kind of, you know, we did look at the composition of the group. So it wasn't just this haphazard, D.C.'s easy, let's do it there. So anyway, let me go to Robin because she's got her hand up.
Thanks. Yeah, I didn't want to imply that, and I certainly don't think that the choice of holding the meeting in D.C. was in any way trying to exclude other participants. I never thought that was the intent. But what I think is we need to think about the implications of what happens when we select meetings in different locations. And unfortunately, always having meetings or frequently having meetings in the United States is an extremely burdensome activity for people in developing countries. It's a real pain to get a visa. It takes a long time. There's enormous expense. So I think that, you know, it's not just about, well, let's stick it to the people in, you know, developing countries. Ha-ha! I don't think that's at all what anyone is trying to say here. What I'm saying is let's think about the implications about the location of our meeting, because even though we don't intend to exclude others, we may, in fact, be exclusionary of people in developing countries. And what happens is we have a situation where it's just a perpetuation of the existing participants because it's easy for them to participate, so they make it easy for them to participate, which then continues to make it more difficult for people outside of the existing, you know, small cadre of people who are playing. So I think we need to make sure we can open it up to newer people. And take that into consideration. I know some folks have said, well, this work team is special and we need to, you know, just think about this and not think about these broader issues. But I disagree. I think that we can't remove this work team from the rest of the work that the GNSO is doing. And we have to hold the same kinds of standards to this work team that we hold to all the other work teams, meaning making sure that all the views are represented in the dialogue. I mean, I for one do not understand this argument that, oh, no, this is just existing participants to finish up the work, so we don't need the non-commercial viewpoint there. Don't, you know, I don't understand that viewpoint. To me, that goes completely against everything that the GNSO is supposed to be about, representing particular interests, and we think it's important that our interests be represented there, and we also think it's important that it's up to the community itself to decide who represents us at these meetings. It's not up to ICANN staff. It's up to the non-commercial stakeholders to decide who represents non-commercial stakeholders. It's up to the registries to decide who represents registries, et cetera, et cetera. So these are two important points that we're going to fight really hard on going forward, just so you know.
Right. But just to clarify, though, any non-commercial can join this work team at any time, right? So I'm assuming you're not just doing outreach for the face-to-face. I'm assuming you're hopefully doing outreach to get more people to join the work team, right?
Well, I think we've done that. I think you've seen that.
Yeah, I mean, and Alex is part of this group, so, and I'm glad, Alex, you're part of this group. I think that's very beneficial for us all to get your viewpoint. Alan?
Yeah, two points. We've just spent a lot of time talking about how to pick a location, and maybe I missed it. I think I participated in all the calls, though. This was not an issue we really discussed. Staff went away and did an assessment of where the best place would probably be. It may well be that staff needs to use a different algorithm for determining this, but I think it's important for those who weren't at earlier meetings that this was not a major subject of discussion of this particular group, not when I was around. The other issue I want to mention is cost is not the only factor. It's also travel time. For me, I can probably get to Amsterdam for a cheaper or lower price than I can to get to D.C., despite the distance and the time of the flight. But one takes a day and a half's worth of travel, and the other takes a couple of hours. And that also has to be part of the overall equation in determining, what the best location is, so to speak. And I don't know how to do that, but I just want to go put on the table that it is one of the issues. If you make a two-day meeting into a four-day meeting, you're going to reduce the number of people who can participate. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Anybody else with comments on this subject? Robin, your hand's up, but I think that's leftover from. Is that leftover from the last comment? Okay. Thanks. So I guess there's still some logistic things, and again, we'll present all of these viewpoints to the council. I got to be honest with everything, with all the discussions coming up, I'm not sure that this is going to happen. But we're going to bring it up, and I don't want to withdraw the request from council because I think it's actually a really good discussion for them to have. Whether or not we go forward with this face-to-face, I think the discussion, they need to have the discussion. And so I don't want to withdraw it. I don't want to just withdraw it, having them not have to go through the exercise of discussing it. And even if January 18th and 19th do not happen, I do think a face-to-face of this group will have some value. So even if it's later on or at another time that everyone can make it, in another location that everyone can make it. So does anyone disagree with that? I have a feeling if I withdraw it or say that there's too much dissension within the group, the council won't discuss it, and we won't make any progress on this issue. Okay, so like I said, I'm going to forward, take Aubrey's comments, make sure they get reflected in the draft email, make sure the discussion we had today and those in support, those not in support, are reflected in the note to council, and they'll have the discussion. James, sorry, do you have your hand raised?
Yeah, real quickly, Jeff, and I'm sorry to interrupt, is that Avery made a point about this as we go forward, we could have a marathon phone call, and I think that that's probably a good idea. In fact, we could, rather than looking into funding travel, maybe ICANN could look into putting together a WebEx or something like that. So.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we can do something, even if it's on those same days. I think that's right. I'll talk to staff after this call to see what can be done with that. I think some of the current technologies may not be the greatest that we've had. I find Adobe okay, but It's not like WebEx where you can actually do some real-time editing or people could see changes. So we do need to find something better than Adobe to have that type of meeting. With that said, I only have 5 minutes left, but I do want to cover a couple of things. I'm on the one sense, you know, I know it seems like you know, there's been a lot of discussion on the list on this subject. There's also been a bunch of discussion on the confidentiality of board reports, which I'm very happy to see that we're having some substantive discussion, and it's obviously an area that people are passionate about. If I can get that same level of passion on the surveys, Stage 4 survey will be up until we decide to extend it until the end of the week. So you know, hopefully people can finish it by Friday so that we can submit the results around and send it around to the group on Monday. Again, surveys are only informal. They're just to try to help guide the discussion on the rest of Stage 4 and to help include in the report. They're not any indication of consensus. So please, please respond to those like you've been responding to the messages on this face-to-face. We also have Stage 1 and 2 reports that have had zero comments, and they're quite lengthy. They're quite substantial, and they've been out there for a couple months now. Well, Stage 1 has been out there for a few months, and Stage 2 has been out there for about a month now. So please comment on those. After all, that is the ultimate work product. The Stage 3 report will be joined hopefully by the latest on Monday, so you will have Stages 1, 2, and 3 reports out there to review. And we do have another call that's scheduled for the 17th, which is, the time has been moved. Hopefully you've all seen that, because the council is meeting at this time or conflicts at this time. So we moved the council meeting to, I know what time it is, East Coast U.S. time. It's something like 1:30 East Coast U.S. time. So that's 3.5 hours after the normal meeting time. So please please look at that. I've seen the discussion on the chat about if we do have marathon call sessions, the 18th may not be the best date, but we'll, if we do have to do that, we will send around doodles to block out a couple marathon sessions to talk about it. So are there any other questions? Comments? Great. Please do those surveys and respond to the reports. Thank you very much, and I will talk to you all on the...
Just one thing on the survey, just because we have people. It's Liz. I just want to ask people if they think... Well, two things. One, for those of you that have not filled it out yet, we can keep it open, like, through the weekend if you think you might get to it in the next couple days. I think, like, Alan and James, you know, you've typically done them, and I don't think we have survey responses from you. And, Alex, I wanted to ask you, because it looked like you responded twice to the survey but didn't finish it either time. And so in order for you, yours to appear in the survey results, you want to make sure to go through. I know it's kind of long, but you want to go through and try to finish it in one sitting. And I also wondered if maybe you had difficulty with it and if that's why you did it twice.
Yes, yes, I could quickly respond to that. Yes, I had on three occasions the internet link, one of them would fail midway, and then I was forced to restart it, and then the other one, the browser froze. So I think about 3 days ago is when I did it in one session. For some reason, I don't know whether all the information got through. The other option I could do is have all the questions and you send them on a document. I could type the answers because I still have the responses typed, and I could send it as a document.
Could help you. She wasn't able to join this call, but she wanted me to bring it up, and I'll have her reach out to you directly and figure out if there's a. We just want to make sure to capture your comments.
Yes.
So.
It was a technical
yeah.
problem on the way. Yes.
I have
yes.
that frequently where I am too. So I hate when that happens.
This is Jeff. I've also asked Marika to look into seeing whether this software or other software can be used where you can actually save your results midway and then return back to it. I think that would help too, because these are very long. So, Liz, I think I think having Marika reach out to Alex is a good idea, and possibly just sending a document with all the questions where he could submit something separate would also help.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
And this is James, just for the record, that was turned in last night, Liz, so you should have it now.
Great, thanks, James.
Thank you, everyone. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.